Five yard line.
You're listening to the Pool Boy Olympics podcast.
Hello, Steve here. Welcome back to the Pool Boy podcast. If you've listened to our Olympic trials review episode, you'll know that Bob was busy in the mix zone in London and caught a number of swimmers as they'd finished competing. We heard a few of those in that episode, but there was plenty more where that came from. So in this episode, we're going to listen to some more of those interviews that Bob was able to get, starting with one of the biggest stories of the week, which was, of course, Adam Peaty.
How much of a statement is that?
A very good statement, very solid. Yeah, I mean, I just felt so light in the water. I think, I didn't even know what I was at, and you know? So it didn't even feel like a 26. And I was like, I felt really light. I saw my boy there, and I was like, oh, trying to not get too emotional. As a father now, I cry over everything. But, you know, I think this is a real win for my team, real win for my family, and real win for myself that, you know, we've come through past, not even 12 months, past 3 years of hell. 3 years of excuse my language, but just trying to find a route that I didn't know myself or what route to go down. So many things got in my way. But now, again, I come back to what I said over there is peace. And I'm just waking up every day, enjoying my job. And who knows what the end is going to be. But I'm having fun along the way.
You talked about 3 years. That's your fastest time in 3 years. So where has it come from and how did you get there?
A lot of hard work. I think Mel deserves a huge amount of... I mean, she gets it from me anyway, I think. But... just deserves a huge amount of love, support, and just acknowledgement for what she's been able to do for me, because I'm just a messenger. She writes a message, I just deliver it. And I think that's a great analogy, because the team have worked tirelessly, British Swimming, Aquatic GB, worked tirelessly around the clock for us to get the performance we deserve. But sport isn't about what we deserve, it's what we go and get. And she just enables me in the right way to go and do that and get what I need.
So. Did you ever write yourself off though, Adam? Did you personally believe this could happen?
I think I did write myself off. Minute point four, I was like, something's not right. I'm not a minute point swimmer in season. And I kept getting ill and my brain was telling me it doesn't want to be here. So I think your body starts to write you off if you're not happy. And I was severely unhappy. I couldn't even talk about my state of well-being without crying. So when you're in that state, you can't race the best in the world and be healthy. So we had to kind of just reverse it and say, oh, hold on a minute, it's only 2 laps of the baths. There is a science to it. I've done it all my life. And Mel's, you know, like my second mum. She's been there. She'll be there for the bad. She'll be there for the good. But, you know, this story we're telling together is, I'm absolutely loving it. Of course, you still get nervous. Of course, you're still like, oh, I doubt yourself and whatnot. But it's just a good place to be now. I've been at 57.9. It's very good. Very, very good. Still not, you know, near where I want to be in terms of over here. But that's the first solid result where I'm like, oh, not many people can do this. And now we chase 57 low or 57 mid or whatever it's going to be, 56, and go somewhere no one else has been, especially over 10 years, a decade of breaststroke swimming two lengths. F*** me, what am I doing? I've got a huge respect for everyone I'm racing. It doesn't matter where you are in the world, what program you're under, what coach you're under, a huge amount of respect for from lane 0 to lane 10 or lane 9, wherever it is. And I think they will be thinking, oh, you know, hopefully, well done. I want a piece of that and make it a good race in Paris. I don't want an easy race. It doesn't entertain me. So hopefully, Cheen is, you know, I've seen his times last summer, and hopefully he sees that and steps up as well. Obviously, I want to be where he is, if not faster. And, you know, let's make it a real battle between all 8 lanes. Why not?
Great to see Adam back to his best, of course. Now, one thing that Katie's really keen on is people who are overjoyed at their Olympic selection, and they don't get much happier than Dan Jervis. Here's what he had to say to Bob.
I think you spent 15 minutes doing interviews and 15 minutes in the pool right now, but second Olympics, how's it feel?
Oh, amazing. You know, like I'm so happy, yeah, for myself, but I'm so happy for like my coach Adam. You know, 50% of this medal is Adam's. You know, yeah, I had to get in and do it tonight, but he's the one that's got me to where I am now, and like I couldn't thank him enough, and I'm going to give him a massive hug in a minute. And all my team in Swansea, you know, I'm very, very blessed to have them, and they hold me up. Yeah.
Does it ever get any easier, the 1500?
Oh my goodness, it gets so much harder as I'm getting older. Everyone says, oh, you get used to it. No, you don't. Like, I'm 27 now. Like, it hurts so much more then than it did 3 years ago when I was 24. So Yeah.
How much are you learning about this event, though? As you get older, how do you change? How's the event change?
I mean, 10 years ago, this competition is where my life changed. I qualified for the Glasgow 2014 Commonwealth Games, and like every 1500, I've done loads of them now, but you learn something different every time, and you know, there's been many 1500s where I've made mistakes, and that's where you learn it. Yeah, it's great to have moments like this where you're like celebrated and everything, and you feel as if everything's gone right, but it's where you don't do, it's where you make mistakes, that's where you learn, you know. So I was very aware of Toby when I was in the pool then, and I thought to myself, oh, I can't drop him, but like, fair play to him, he had such an amazing swim there, and I'm so proud that I was able to do that next to him as well, because like, Toby had already qualified in the open water. So when I touched the wall, it was amazing when I saw I qualified, but when I touched the wall and I saw he'd smashed his PB as well, I gave him the biggest hug and I was like, we're going to Paris, you know? And it was just, honestly, like I said it over there, like this is the best moment of my swimming career, and I'm just absolutely elated. I knew I was doing all right because my coach was doing like, he was like, it's going well, and like, you can kind of have an idea, and especially the last 300 where you can hear the crowd a little bit. And yeah, like on the last 100, I knew I was doing all right because I could hear everyone. So I was just like, enjoy it. Because you never know when these moments are going to happen again.
Are you doing the 800?
I am not. My holiday started as soon as I touched the ball. Yes, I am genuinely always now. So, and that's, I think, why I was so nervous tonight, because I had one chance to do it this week and I've done it. So I can relax now.
Someone else who was really happy with her selection was Honey Osrin. She was a bit of a surprise winner of the 200 backstroke and was still taking it all in when she spoke to Bob.
So, Honey, congratulations. 15 weeks' time, you'll be in Paris.
Yeah. Oh, it's, I need to let it, like, soak in. Still, like, soaking in, but yeah, very excited.
Tell me about the race plan there, because that was very aggressive.
Yeah, that... I wasn't supposed to go out that hard. I think if I went out probably a second and a half slower, I think if I could have come back faster. I was aiming for like a 2.7, so it wasn't really the race I wanted to do, but it was still really good.
You got the time you required.
Yeah, exactly.
So that means it indicates there's quite a few improvements to be made between now and the Olympics.
Yeah, I think I was just really nervous, so I think I didn't realise how fast I was going out, so I just need to control it a bit more. It didn't feel forced, but obviously some things not quite right there in the first 100, so I've just got to calm it down a bit. Yeah.
Some very good things happening at Loughborough though. Tell us about your setup there.
Yeah, I'm with Ian Hulme, going really well. I'm going into my third, my second part of my third year next year. So yeah, there'll be a challenge balancing both, but I think it'll be good.
And are you ahead of where you expected to be at this stage?
No, this was my goal from the beginning of the season, so yeah, I'm where I'm at.
You started to even think about what might happen in Paris now?
No, not really. This was just a goal, getting here and then seeing what comes next when I'm there, so.
Sticking with backstroke, Kathleen Dawson was another winner in London, and she will be going to her second Olympics as a consequence of that. Very different circumstances to the first time, as she explained in the mix zone.
How much does it mean to you to make your second Olympics and one that's going to have a crowd in it as well this time?
I can't believe it. I can't believe that that's me going to a second Olympics now. It's not really sank in. It's a very emotional thought. But yeah, it's great to even have my family here watching me qualify this time. So yeah, it'll be great to have spectators in Paris.
How different is the Kathleen Dawson of 2024 from the one in 2021?
I mean, she's definitely different. She swims a lot slower, apparently, but no, we're working back towards that. I definitely feel like I'm a better athlete for what I've been through. And just the experience and the knowledge that I've picked up going through the roller coaster that I've been through, you can't take anything too seriously, I guess. Like, I'm swimming up and down in a pool, but it means the world to me at the same time, so I don't know.
And for those who don't know your story, just give us a kind of breakdown of how your body broke down, really.
Well, so it was the year of 2021. I'd just qualified for the Olympics. We went out to Europeans. The week I got back from Europeans, I felt something like shot down my leg. It was like electricity. Turned out I had a bulging disc in my, I want to say it's like S1, L1 region of my spine. And that was giving me sciatica. So I competed for the Olympics with sciatica, and then straight after the Olympics, it was like my back just went, right, you're done now, and just gave up on me. I couldn't like bend over to put socks on. It was hard just getting out of bed. So yeah, it had been a real struggle at that point.
So is this a case that maybe you didn't think you were going to even make it to Paris?
Yeah, definitely. It's hard because I knew that this was, if I was going to come back, this was the goal I had to set for myself, to be back to make the Paris Olympics. So I knew that if I was going to be back, this was it. So yeah, if I had to set myself anything, it was going to be this to come back for. Otherwise, I wasn't coming back. I mean, I definitely enjoyed it the last time because I knew that our team was going to come out with a gold medal. Like, I knew we were going to do that. But going into it this time with not feeling any like pain every day, that'll definitely be a big plus.
Right, let's turn our attention to the freestyle events now, starting with the 50-metre events. And let's hear from firstly Anna Hopkin, who won the women's event, and then Matt Richards, who followed Ben Proud home in the men's event and made it clear he's hoping to add that event to his Olympic programme.
How do you evaluate that race, and congrats on getting the Olympics again?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm happy with that. I've been a little bit quicker so far this season, but obviously when you've got the pressure of a time to get it, adds a little another dimension to it. So I'm just really happy that I managed to deliver a good time when it mattered and get that time I needed to go to Paris. So yeah, really happy.
You've done all the big meets now, but you still feel pressure for these events?
Yeah, definitely. I don't think you can ever take it for granted and think that you're going to automatically qualify. And you've always got people coming up like Eva, who are swimming really fast, and you just never know which juniors could beat you to the wall. So you've always got to be ready for anything and obviously deliver the best you can on the day. And so definitely still feel a bit nervous coming into it.
How difficult is it for you? It's all about the margins. You really have no room for manoeuvre on your event.
Yeah, I do. I think the 50 can sometimes be almost more nerve-wracking than the 100, just because there really is no room for error, and if you slightly mess up the start, it's got to really claw back that time. So there's probably little things in that race that I can improve on, but I delivered the best I could on the day, and so I'm proud of that.
How does this compare with Tokyo, and what are your expectations now?
It just gives me confidence to know that my speed's there. I've already done some good times at Worlds this year in the 100 as well, so to know that the speed's there, and hopefully that 100 will be good on Sunday, and then obviously we can build into Paris come the summer and hopefully go even faster. It's quite hard not to always compare to last Olympic year, and I think that's why I struggled quite a lot the couple years after Tokyo, just because I was constantly comparing to the times I was doing there. But you know, sometimes you've got to almost take a few steps back to take more steps forward. So kind of had a lot of talks with my coach Mel and come to that realization, knowing that when it came to this year, we were going to step on even further. And so far, I've been doing a lot better than last Olympic year. So that gives me a lot of confidence.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say I'll probably swim that in Paris. It doesn't look like it will clash with any of my other events. And Ryan told me earlier that if I qualify on that, he might let me do a little bit of 50 training leading into it. So that'll be quite fun to see what we can do then.
How do you manage to combine all that, though? Because you're going to do 200, you're going to do 100, you're going to do 50, and trying to get everything in the right perspective. How easy is that to do?
Yeah, I think it's quite a unique one for me because speed comes quite naturally to me. As obviously we've seen there, without really any 50 training, I can still go pretty quick. So it's not difficult for us to get that. It just kind of comes without having to work for it. We really train up the fitness to be able to hold on for those 200s. So I think it would just be a case of adding in a little sprinkle, a little tickle of a 50 pace and some fast work. And yeah, it'd be really exciting to see what we can do on that later in the year.
How difficult is it to watch Ben Proud's feet disappear away from you?
Very. I mean, I knew diving in that I needed to be trying to stay with him from the start. For the first maybe 30 metres of the race, I could feel I was kind of sat on his wave. Those last 20 metres, I was kind of stuck in his wave then. I was too far behind him to really get the benefit, and I was starting to fight it then at that point. So yeah, it was probably a bonus down the first bit and then a bit of a hindrance down the end. But yeah, it's really special. You know, Ben's been fantastic with me over the years. He's been somewhat of a mentor for me throughout my career, and so it's always a pleasure to race him, and it's great to see him doing so well.
What about two Brits in the 50 final in Paris? Is that a possibility?
Yeah, I think so. Why not? I mean, you know, we'd be crazy to think Ben's not going to be there. So yeah, it's just up to me to try and see if I can sneak my way in there. And you never know, once you're in a final, you never know what could happen. So yeah, that'll be the goal in the summer, is just see what we can do.
Matt, of course, had won the 100 freestyle earlier in the week, and following him home was Duncan Scott. Here's what he had to say after that 100 freestyle, and then we'll hear from the coming man in the sprint freestyle in the UK. That's Alex Cahoon, who should also be heading to his maiden Olympics.
Definitely the first time we've had 3:47s. You know, I remember years gone by, you know, it's been 49 to get on the podium. You know, I think it was 2017 we had three Scottish boys on the podium and third was a 49.5, so that wouldn't have made the B final this year. But yeah, no, it's great to see, and it's great to be a part of it, and it's quite exciting as well.
What does that swim tell you about the shape you're in for this week?
Difficult, because I think 100 free is probably harder to read in than other ones. You know, it's there's less pacing and more just kind of racing. That's a nice wee rhyme as well. There you go, have that one. But yeah, no, it's obviously quite a cagey final. But you know, I'm just happy to get my hand on the wall second. You know, it's just using experience of being in lots of 100 free finals before and kind of sticking to a race plan and use my strength. So yeah, I'm happy with that, and you know, it makes me quite excited for the rest of the week.
How much do you prioritise when you've got these multiple events you've got? Where does this one go in the pecking order?
That's difficult now. I might say it's third, and then by the end of the week it's my best result. So yeah, I don't know, it's difficult. You are able to train for them all, you know, that lots of characteristics that you need for a good 100 free carry across the 2 free, for example, and you know, that strength that's required is important for the 2IM, you know, the fly and the breast that you need the power for, that can translate into the 100 free. So you know, there's lots of translations and crossovers, but you know, I'd like to think, you know, it all kind of focuses on the 2IM, and off of that, you know, we can prep for the 2 free and the 100 free as well.
Thanks, cheers, mate.
Alex, how are you feeling about that? That's not, obviously you didn't get the top two, but yeah. Another lifetime best.
Happy? Yeah, I'm happy. I felt like in training I've been a bit quicker than that, but to go under 22 first time, I'm happy, especially against these boys like Ben and Matt. They're class athletes, so yeah, it's good. I'm happy.
Four swims and four lifetime best?
Yeah, four lifetime best. So yeah, I did everything I could, so I'm really happy overall with how I swam. So yeah.
Has it been a bit of an emotional roller coaster this week? Obviously, you know, the 100 got you onto the team through the relay. Have you managed your emotions?
Yeah, it's been pretty difficult, to be honest. I didn't get any sleep on Thursday night, but we knew that was going to happen. The emotions were so high. But to come back and then swim a 22.0 in the morning, like, I'm happy, because I struggled a European short course to back race again and again in the week. So I've learned a lot, and yeah, sets me up well for the summer. So I'm really happy.
And do you look at Ben and think, you know, I could pick up some tips?
Yeah, well, 100%. Like, he starts unbelievable, and that's my weakest part. So I've been out with Ben and Gloria a few times, and we have worked on that. But he's a top athlete and top, great guy. So yeah, could have learned a lot from him.
Well done. Congratulations. Yeah, thank you.
Now, the 200 freestyle was the big finale to the week in London, and we've already heard from the first two finishers in that race. Third and fourth were Tom Dean and James Guy. Now, Tom had already all but booked his place in the 200 IM, but James had left it to the end. Let's hear from Tom speaking after that IM, and then James, who secured his place in that final race.
And relax, you're on the Eurostar.
Absolutely, yeah. That's what this meet's all about. It's just come here, get a ticket, go home. And that's the way Dave always says it, and that's the kind of emotional level that we approach it with. So I knew I had to get top two here. I knew Duncan was going to be quick. I knew I'd be chasing down that freestyle leg, and it seems to always be the way on our IM races. But another great, you know, head-to-head with him, similar to the Worlds last year, and I know what I need to work on.
You're not a man who shows a lot of pressure. Are you feeling under? Were you feeling any pressure going into that race?
Not really, and I've been asked a lot. You know, I've spoken about 5 medals, and something I'm really excited about, and something I've openly said, look, I'm going to try my best and go at it. And this was the first step on that process. The first one was try and get the 4x1. The next one was get the top two in the 200 IM and put my ticket there. And the third one, the 200 free on Sunday. So it's not really a pressure thing. I love racing here. I love racing these guys. You know what you're getting yourself in for. You know, there's not too many uncertainties. I know how Duncan swims. I know the other boys swim. And after the 100 free, I knew I was on good form. So I can't wait for that 200.
Here we are about 20 minutes after the race. What's your emotions now?
A bit frustrated and still quite happy at the same time. 145, two fastest I've been in 8 years. You know, thank you to Ryan Livingston for believing in me and getting the old James back to where I should be. You know, that's what it's about. That's what I should be doing every year, if not faster. I've been there for 7 months now, and clearly it is working. The butterfly was a shambles, something like an idiot. We know that. There's much more there to do. But yeah, I feel like I had a bit too much caffeine before the 200 free. A bit shaky, feel a bit crampy, but the time's still great, so.
And the band's back together again for the relay.
The band is back together for the relay. I feel like if we focus on ourselves, we can beat them again. And if we focus on ourselves, we can probably beat the world again. So we've done it before.
What a contrast between your 100 fly and your 200 free. You look like a completely different swimmer.
Yeah, I think so. I think 100 fly, because I know I want it so much, where the 200 free, it's kind of, you know, the guys who are faster than me, and it's just about kind of doing my race practice and doing my race process. But yeah, I said this before to a lot of people, like, just because I've had one bad swim, doesn't mean I'm in a bad place, you know, and I knew that I've been shaping my life for quite a while, especially being with Ryan and the Millfield guy, so no complaints.
Third Olympics,
Bob. It's pretty special. Hopefully a bit more Tim Ware to come in the summer. I know that hopefully I can lead off the relay and go faster than that. I think I can. But I mean, I'm happy with that. Can't complain.
So you should be. Good to see you back on board.
Thank you, Bob.
So while James left it to the very last race of the meet, someone who'd qualified on the first day was Freya Colbert, who won the women's 200 metres freestyle before saying she wasn't going to swim it in Paris. Her best performance, though, probably came in the 400 IM. Here's what she said after that.
Freya, congrats again. How much were you feeling the expectation of being a world champion now in that event?
I think there was definitely some pressure, like it's always a close race between me and Katie, and I think it was almost worse coming straight off Worlds into Bucks because Katie was there, and I think I was quite nervous then, and I felt the pressure quite a lot in terms of like I'm supposed to be the world champion if I can't even win at Bucks, and what does that sort of say? But Dave and like our psych support did a really good job of kind of bringing me back down to earth a little bit. Like, it doesn't matter, like, obviously Katie wasn't in Doha, I won the race that was there and the race that was in front of me, and this is a completely different circumstance, a completely different competition, completely different race, and so I think it's nice to have that kind of notch in my belt, but I definitely don't carry it around like a weight. I feel like when people announce me as like the world champion, I'm like, oh wait, like what? Like, my day-to-day life hasn't changed at all, and I don't like to say that. I don't think I've changed, and the relationship me and Katie have, I think, is so special, and so I was really happy and excited to share that moment with her, no matter kind of which way the race went.
And that was 3 seconds or more quicker than you went in Doha. So what have you been working on between then and now?
Well, I think Doha was a bit different because, like I say, I wasn't resting. It was off the back of altitude. So I think it was just kind of completing that training phase and getting that race pace in. And I feel, I said today before, like I just feel so at peace and at one with the event. Like, I've raced it so much this season so far, a lot more than I would have done, and like at that higher level, and doing a lot of 400 IM work in training, I think it's just given me a lot of confidence for the racing side. Like, I know exactly how it's going to feel like, and so I just felt, yeah, I won with the event. I think my breaststrokes really improved a lot this whole season, and so that definitely probably helped me get that PB. I have no idea what any of the splits were, but like, it felt pretty good in the race, so I'm going to go with the breaststroke. But yeah, just completing the training cycle and having that race pace, and yeah, just the race-specific training, what we did.
What are you thinking about this event on the world stage? Where do you think you fit into it right now?
I mean, I was fifth in Doha. I haven't, obviously, a lot of the other countries' trials haven't been yet. I think 4:34.0 is a good place to be. I think, if I remember correctly, it was a 32 or a 33 to win in Fukuoka. To medal in Fukuoka. So I think there's definitely more work to be done, but I'm pleased to make that step forward, even if it didn't get me like to the 4:32, the 4:33 round. But I think it's definitely doable, and by the end of the year, like, I hope to be up there with sort of the adrenaline and everything else that comes with the event of being in Olympics. I feel confident I can get down there, and when I'm in that race with those girls, hopefully I'll have enough to get to the wall. The women are coming through really strong, like me in Doha with Laura and the women's relays, and it's really nice to be a part of getting the females back on top in British swimming, and that history that's there with Hannah and Miley and Amy Wilmot in the 400 IM, kind of the Scotland versus England thing, like the parallels are called upon quite a lot, and it's nice to be kind of continuing their legacy and everything that they've done. I hope we just don't get stuck with the curse of being in fourth place everywhere when we get to the Olympics. Hopefully we can break that, but otherwise I'm very happy for all the parallels.
We've heard a lot from people who should be heading to Paris for the Olympics in the summer, but of course there are those who fall just short. Here's what two of those, Kieran Bird and Gareth Evans, had to say after their respective finals.
Well, you got a smile on your face, it's a PB. What are your thoughts on that race?
You know, like, there's definitely things that I can improve in that four. Technically, there's some things I can sharpen up on. I know already, like, I'm a bit annoyed with myself because I missed it by 0.2, the nomination standard. And, you know, my coach Jamie said to me before the race, no double breaths. And I think I did maybe two double breaths in that. So, you know, those are the gutting things that, you know, when it's such small margins, and there's small margins in sport, it's a bit of a shame. But as I've been saying, like, fastest time in 3 years, fastest time ever. I've got to take the positives.
How aware, coming off the final wall, were you of what you had to do?
I wasn't thinking of anything. I was just like, I've got to endure this pain, and, you know, like, my legs went numb, my body went numb. But that sport, like, you've got to push yourself to your absolute limit. And today, in terms of effort, that was the limit. I'm proud of what I did there, but it's definitely some things I can pick up on and improve. I'm looking more towards Paris, and hopefully I get a ticket there. And then that's about finding, you know, 2.5 seconds. that will put me in contention for a medal. And, you know, that's definitely doable. I found 2.5 seconds since December, so why can't I do it, you know, into July?
Well, 2:66 in a day, I can't believe you're disappointed with that.
Yeah, it was more the way round they were. It was, you know, it's never nice going slower in the final than in the heats, especially since my heat swim did feel so comfortable. But, you know I have faster in me. It's just going to go back and looking on what to work on, and, you know, that's what I'm ready to do, so.
So after this morning, do you put a bit more pressure on yourself for tonight?
Yeah, definitely. I think the nerves did get to me a bit. And usually I use that to my advantage. But, you know, no one swims perfect, so I'm just going to have to work on that, work on the nerves, work on the processes. But, yeah.
It looks like we'll have a medley relay. Hopefully we'll have a medley relay in Paris. Hopefully you'll be on that. What would it mean to you if that was the case?
That would be amazing. You know, I've really worked hard in training for that. And, you know, I'm very happy with where I am in the sport. So to be able to represent my country would mean a lot to me.
And first taste of the Olympics. Again, is this something you dreamed of when you were younger?
Oh, completely. No, I remember watching even Molly Renshaw when I was younger, you know, on the TV. And I just remember wanting to be there one day. So hopefully that day will come for me.
About 12 weeks time.
Yeah, hopefully. We'll see. Time will tell.
Okay, time to wrap up this extra episode of the Pool Boy podcast. I hope you found it interesting hearing from some of the main protagonists in London at the Olympic trials. We'll be back soon with some further episodes. Keep an eye on my social media if you want to find out when that is. You can find me on X at Pool Boy or at Pool Boy UK on Facebook and Instagram. But until Bob, Katie and I are back with you, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Pool Boy podcast. For more episodes, visit www.poolboy.co.uk/podcast.